Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Speed of Trust by Stephen M. R. Covey presents trust as a measurable, actionable force that affects how fast people and organizations move and how much everything costs. Rather than treating trust as a soft value, the book frames it as an economic driver that influences collaboration, decision-making, innovation, customer loyalty, and employee engagement. Covey argues that when trust is high, relationships accelerate and friction drops, leading to lower transaction costs and better results. When trust is low, work slows down under layers of verification, politics, and defensive behavior. The book blends leadership guidance with practical frameworks for diagnosing trust gaps and rebuilding credibility, whether in teams, companies, or personal relationships. It is widely discussed in business circles for its clear language and managerial utility, especially for leaders navigating change, cross-functional work, and stakeholder skepticism. The core promise is straightforward: improve trust, and you improve speed, quality, and outcomes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, trust is an economic driver of speed and cost. A central idea is that trust is not merely a moral virtue, but a practical performance variable. Covey links trust directly to organizational speed and cost, arguing that high trust functions like a lubricant that removes friction from processes, while low trust behaves like sand in the gears. In high trust environments, people share information earlier, commit more readily, and require fewer approvals, audits, and legal safeguards. Decisions can be made closer to the work, enabling rapid execution and faster iteration. In low trust settings, even simple actions can trigger defensive documentation, duplicated checks, and lengthy escalations, raising transaction costs and slowing progress. This perspective reframes common workplace pain points such as micromanagement, excessive reporting, and prolonged procurement as symptoms of distrust rather than purely process problems. It also helps explain why two organizations with similar strategies can see wildly different results. One pays a tax of skepticism and bureaucracy, the other enjoys the dividend of confidence and cooperation. The takeaway is that building trust is a strategic lever. Improving trust can unlock efficiency gains without changing headcount or tools, because it changes how people behave and how much overhead is required to get work done. Secondly, the four cores of credibility, intent, integrity, capabilities, results. The book emphasizes that trust begins with credibility, and credibility can be developed through a balanced focus on four cores: intent, integrity, capabilities, and results. Intent deals with motives and agenda. People watch whether a leader seeks mutual benefit, communicates transparently, and shows genuine care. Integrity focuses on congruence, doing what you say, keeping commitments, and acting consistently with stated values, even when pressured. Capabilities address the practical question of competence. Good intentions are not enough if a person lacks the skills, knowledge, and judgment to deliver. Results provide the final proof point, because repeated outcomes build a track record that others can rely on. Covey's framework is useful because it reveals why trust can break in different ways. Someone may be highly capable, but distrusted due to perceived self-interest. Another may be ethical and well-meaning, but unreliable in execution. For leaders, the model becomes a diagnostic tool. Identify which core is weakest, then take specific steps such as clarifying motives, tightening follow-through, building expertise, or delivering measurable wins. The broader message is that credibility is constructed through both character and competence, and sustainable trust requires attention to both. Thirdly, 13 behaviors that build or restore trust. Covey outlines a set of behaviors that make trust observable and repeatable in daily work. While trust is often discussed abstractly, these behaviors translate it into choices leaders can practice, especially during pressure, conflict, or change. The behaviors include communication habits such as talking straight, creating transparency, and righting wrongs when mistakes occur. They also include reliability habits such as showing respect, delivering results, getting better, and keeping commitments. Another cluster focuses on collaboration and accountability, encouraging people to confront reality, clarify expectations, practice accountability, and listen first. There is also an emphasis on extending trust appropriately, not as blind faith, but as a deliberate decision paired with clear expectations and verification when needed. The value of this list is that it provides a common language for teams. Instead of vague complaints like "we need better culture," people can point to concrete gaps such as unclear expectations or failure to acknowledge errors. The behaviors also encourage a shift from image management to relationship management. In practice, they help organizations reduce the hidden costs of suspicion, slow approvals, guarded communication, and siloed decision-making. The theme is that trust is built in the small moments, and consistency in visible behaviors makes trust scalable across teams and systems. Fourthly, rebuilding trust after breakdowns and managing distrust cycles. The book addresses the reality that trust can be damaged by broken commitments, ethical lapses, poor performance, or simple miscommunication. Cubby's approach focuses on rebuilding through clarity, accountability, and sustained proof rather than quick reassurance. Repair starts with acknowledging the breach and taking responsibility, which signals integrity and respect. Next comes diagnosis. Was the issue one of character, competence, or both? This distinction matters because the remedy differs. A competence breach may be addressed through training, support, and realistic promises. A character breach may require deeper transparency, third-party oversight, and time to re-establish confidence. The framework also highlights how distrust can become a self-reinforcing cycle. When people assume bad intent, they interpret neutral actions negatively, reduce communication, and increase control, which then triggers defensiveness and further suspicion. Breaking that cycle often requires a leader to change behavior first, even without guarantees of reciprocity. Practical steps include renegotiating expectations, making smaller commitments and delivering them reliably, and creating mechanisms that increase visibility of progress. The goal is not to demand trust, but to earn it through consistent actions that reduce uncertainty. Over time, repeated delivery and openness can move a relationship from guarded compliance to genuine collaboration. Lastly, leading with trust at scale, culture, systems, and smart empowerment beyond individual relationships, Cubby argues that trust must be embedded into organizational culture and operating systems. High trust cultures do not happen by slogans. They are reinforced by how leaders hire, evaluate performance, share information, and respond to mistakes. If incentives reward internal competition, secrecy, or short-term wins at any cost, trust will erode regardless of stated values. Conversely, when systems reward collaboration, learning, and accountability, trust becomes self-sustaining. The book's perspective encourages leaders to view policies and controls through a trust lens. Some controls are necessary, but excessive controls can signal distrust and invite gaming. A trust-centered organization aims for smart empowerment, delegating with clear outcomes, boundaries, and support, then holding people accountable for results. This increases speed while maintaining responsibility. The approach also matters externally, shaping how organizations treat customers, partners, and regulators. Transparent communication and consistent delivery can become a competitive advantage, reducing negotiation time and strengthening loyalty. In change initiatives, trust functions as change capacity. People are more willing to adopt new processes, accept ambiguity, and contribute ideas when they believe leaders are competent and acting with mutual benefit. The overall message is that trust is not only a personal skill, but an organizational capability that can be designed, measured, and improved. In conclusion, this book is best suited for leaders, managers, team members, entrepreneurs, and professionals who rely on collaboration and influence rather than formal authority. It is also valuable for anyone trying to repair strained relationships at work or build credibility in a new role. The benefit to the reader's life comes from the shift in mindset. Trust becomes something you can create through specific choices, not something you either have or do not have. By applying the credibility model and the practical behaviors, readers can reduce misunderstandings, speed up decisions, and lower the emotional and operational cost of conflict. The ideas also support clearer communication, stronger follow-through, and more respectful interactions, which carry over into personal relationships. Compared to similar leadership and culture books, The Speed of Trust stands out for treating trust as a measurable performance factor tied to tangible outcomes like speed, cost, and execution. It offers frameworks that help diagnose why trust is low and what to do next, rather than only describing what good leadership looks like. For buyers, the value is in its repeatable tools and shared language that teams can adopt, making it a practical investment for improving how work actually gets done. If you would like to support Stephen M. R. Covey, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.